You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Wednesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with James Millman, John Babb and Dale Gibson in the studio. We've got action from Catterick, Fontwell and Lingfield in the afternoon, and all other action in the evening from Kempton Park. So a good mix of both codes. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is none other than Mr. Andy Holding. How are you, Andy?
Hello, Mark.
Are you well, sir?
Yes. Yeah, not feeling too bad considering Cheltenham is a week away, and sometimes you can have the burnout effect leading up to the festival and you're done in before it even starts.
Yeah.
But as it stands at the moment, there's still plenty of lead in the pencil.
I was going to say, you look like you've got a bit of a spring in your
step. Petrol in the tank.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. A week away as we record this today. It starts on Tuesday, of course. And it's the best time of year, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. Yeah. Certainly is for me anyway. It's my whole year really revolves around Cheltenham. It's just a great occasion to go to as a sporting event, and it's a betting bonanza, and you know, we gear up for it almost 6-7 months in advance when the national season starts.
Yeah.
So if you're not prepared by now, you never will be. You've seen all the trials.
Yeah.
You've done all the form, all the time figures are all there. We've just got to hope that said horses that we fancy get there in one piece, healthy, yards are in good form, and you know, the ground's fairly uniformed across the board, so we get some nice racing, you know.
Yeah. A lot of people will have still one or two races that they still won't really have an opinion in.
Yeah.
Vice versa, you'll have races that you've got a real strong opinion in. So if you were to pick a race where you had the strongest opinion at this point?
Well, my strongest opinion of the week up till, well, it is still remaining now, is Ballyandy in the opener. But I'm just kind of holding fire in sort of my confidence levels until I see the Twist and Davis horses, perhaps in the next few days, just come out of a little bit of a slump that they've dropped into. They haven't had a winner for the thick end of 3 weeks. I think Ballyandy is actually one of their last winners. They have run a lot of modest horses in between. It's not as if any of their stars have been running. So
yeah,
it's probably not a great sample. I'd still want my yard firing on all cylinders going into Cheltenham. I think that's just as important as anything.
Yeah.
But Bouver Dare and the Champion Hurdle, the more I kind of think about how that race is likely to be run, what he's up against opposition-wise, it's a golden opportunity for him. And I think Barry Geraghty is very much an old for Healy's gain. And it's a team that have already proven themselves that they gel really well together. You know, they've won a couple of races already this season for Healy and Bouver Dare. He ran well in the Supreme Novices, which is probably the best form line for me coming into this year's race. Altior, Min, but you look at all the horses behind him, Charbel, William H. Bonney. There's a gazillion of them. I think virtually every horse, even Penguy from Pavilion, who was 12th, has won. I think every horse, apart from Silver Concord, has won this season.
Yeah.
Out of the Supreme Novices. North Hill Harvey won the Great Wood. There's another one, forgot him. So it's all geared up for a really big run for Bouver Dare. And he's trained by the Champion Hurdle trainer to call upon other than Willie Mullins.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he's won it a gazillion times, hasn't he, Henderson?
it's his
race.
Yes, yes. I was quite refreshed by the news that JP McManus had already said which jockeys were going to ride which horses in the absence of Barry Geraghty. I think it's good that people aren't trying to guess, and he just come out and said, yeah, these are the jockeys, they're going to ride these horses.
It'd be lovely to know and have a conversation on the quiet, be a fly on the wall, to know what Barry Geraghty, out of the two, who he would have gone for.
Yeah.
Whether he had actually made his mind up before that injury, or he was still going to wait until, you know, when the sort of decks were there and whatever the ground was.
Yeah.
I wonder what he would have gone for. My gut feeling is he probably would have stuck with Yanworth, because I think he's ridden him more,
yeah,
and the continuity levels are fairly high, whereas obviously Fahili's already ridden Bovador mainly this season.
Yeah. I suppose as well, if you think Mark Walsh is JP McManus's number two and he's going to ride Yanworth, then you presume that Barry Geraghty would have ridden Yanworth because he was the number one jockey, you know, that kind of respect.
Yep.
Yeah. Anyway, Champion Hurdle this year has had a few more turns and twists than normal as well. One horse I want to quickly ask you about, because you mentioned the Twist and Davis Yard and everything else. The new one's going to run in it again.
Yeah.
It wasn't going to be the plan at the start of the season. Because the race has cut up, has he got any more chance this time round than he has at the last three attempts?
None whatsoever.
No.
He's not quick enough, doesn't jump well enough. He's been beaten by this kind of horse for the last three or four seasons. I think he'll run well.
Yeah.
Because he's the new one and he loves Cheltenham and he tries very hard. And those are the admirable qualities in any horse. So he's likely to give you a fair run for your money, but I could only see him finishing the first four at best.
Yeah.
Bouvardes is too quick.
It'd be the classic, the new one, won't it? Be outpaced and then stay on like a
train.
We know
what he's going to run like.
And finish
absolutely,
in a place,
perhaps. Absolutely.
Yeah. One other bit of news just to talk about. Daphne Duclos, significant absentee from the Cheltenham Festival bumper.
Yeah, there was rumblings in the markets yesterday that horse probably might not make the gig. It's a big drifter on old exchange land. It's a shame, really, because she'd run really well early on in the season around Cheltenham in one of those junior bumpers.
Yeah.
And she looked really impressive when she won at Newbury. I think Connections were getting quite excited about her because she was second favourite.
Yeah.
Going into the last couple of weeks of betting before she's withdrawn. So, yeah, it's another race or another year goes by without Nicky Henderson having the winner in the bumper.
Mm.
It's a race that she's eluded him in the course of his career.
Yeah. He's won enough others, hasn't he?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. My knowledge.
Exactly.
anything else on your mind, Andy? Shall we stop until Wednesday?
No, I think we'll just crack on.
All right, well, Wednesday's race previews will be on the back of this.
The Cheltenham Festival is coming on William Hill's Racing Radio. We'll have Build Up Live every day at the festival from noon with our experts at Prestbury Park, including Sir Anthony McCoy, Jim McGrath, Andrew Thornton and Rebecca Curtis, plus full coverage of all 4 days of the festival, as well as tips and the call on every other UK race meeting. The Cheltenham Festival 2017 on William Hill's Racing Radio.
Gets the juices flowing, that, doesn't it?
Very dramatic, yes.
Yeah. Got that to look forward to in a week's time. Let's concentrate on matters closer to hand, though. We've got some racing to preview on Wednesday. Andy's got four races prepared for us. And we start at Catterick in the 2:50. Catterick is the high five meeting on Wednesday as well. So usual applies if you back the winner. It wins by five or more lengths in a race with six or more runners. You get a 25% win bonus. If you back the runner-up, you get your money back as a free bet. Terms and conditions do apply to that. Do check the William Hill website and the William Hill app for more details. This race, Andy, no more Blackjack caught my eye here because he was an unbelievably easy winner over the same course and distance just 8 days ago.
Yeah, what a gorgeous horse he is as well. I think this horse has got a bright future ahead of him. A typical Sue Smith horse, big, strong, rangy, jumps really well. He's got basically everything in front of him, hasn't he? He's only a six-year-old. He improved for the step-up in trip. He handled the track really well. And Danny Cook gave him a typical Danny Cook ride from the front. It was a no-nonsense ride. I imagine he'll just do the same again tomorrow. He'll try and serve it up to them. And he's going to be a very difficult horse to pass. I think he'll probably be an odds-on shot. He looks like a 130 horse, even at this stage of his career. The potential is very much there. And barring accidents, it's hard to see him not following up last week's win. So he was so impressive.
Yeah, he's down to him by 13 lengths. Only has a penalty to defy before the handicapper can reassess him. If there is to be a slight fly in the ointment, any of these leap out here?
Well, Pam Sly's got quite a good record here at Catterick. And this horse has already... I'm sure it's visited this track and run really well in the past. Yeah, it had. It beat Run Ruction's Run back in the day and finished third on its only other start behind the Clock Leary. Comes here off the back of a win the other day at Fakenham. A fairly bloodless one as well at a big price. And like I say, anything that Pam does send up there, then you've certainly got to sort of factor into your calculations. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking for a bet without the favourite, then that would probably be the one.
Okay, Bonnie's Vino then the main danger, but no more blackjack. Andy's idea of the winner in the 250 at Catterick. Moving to Fontwell next for their 340, a handicap hurdle over 2 miles and three furlongs. A field of five set to go to post for this one, so low in numbers, Andy. Any of these stand up to you?
Well, although it's fallen its last two starts, Apples and Pierre's has certainly shown enough ability in those races until departing the scene to suggest that there's definitely races to be won with him. That was a good race of the day at Ludlow. It went the way of I'm a Game Changer, who's very much on the upgrade from the Philip Hobbs stable. Dino Velvet was in there. And he certainly would have finished in and around the coattails of them had he not got rid of his jockey at that point. He fell as well down the back straight at Sedgefield the time before. So he does come with risks attached, but he's back over hurdles here today. And there's no doubt in my mind that he's potentially very well handicapped just purely on ability. So I would have a serious, serious look at Apples and Pierre's in that race tomorrow.
Okay, Apples and Pierre's for the Skeletons then in the 3:40 at Fontwell. The 4:10 at Fontwell is where we go next. This is a handicap chase over 2 miles and three furlongs. A field of seven set to go to post for this one. We'll start with the Italian Job, Andy, yep, who got Leighton Aspill on his back last time and turned in a much more improved effort.
He did. He went really well through that race. I thought for the majority of it, he was going to get back to winning ways. He just cut out late on and, in all fairness, Wizard Bridge, who's a real thorough stayer, who is a very difficult horse to get rid of. He's like a wasp that just won't go away at a picnic, no matter how much you swat it. And I felt really sorry for the Italian Job because he just looked in good terms with himself all the way around. He clearly got on really well with his track. I think the turning nature, and it always gave him something to think about all the way through the race. I think that's what the horse has been requiring. And if he can sort of run to that same level here again tomorrow, then he would have a great chance. Obviously, Leighton Aspill has been booked again, which has got to be a positive. He's a front runner, and he's likely to get his way in front, although Mr. Grays could have, and Cody Wyoming, I suppose, could have something to say about that, because they've often raced quite prominently in their races. But yeah, if he can get some clear water and get into that rhythm that he got here the last time out, his jumping was fantastic, then you could easily see him finally getting just rewards for that good effort last week.
Okay. The Italian Job to bounce back to winning ways then in the 4:10 at Fontwell, and we finish off in the 5:45 at Kempton Park, a Class 2 handicap here over a mile and a quarter. Decent grade of handicap, but some out-of-form horses.
Yeah, a lot of them have been really struggling of late. Our Channel looks as though he's struggling for form. Manson, who I think he was one of the favourites for the Britannia at the Royal Ascot, he's kind of like gone into the wilderness. I'm pretty sure he's actually been out in the desert, if my memory serves me correct. I think one of his last runs was at Maiden. Let me just double check. Yeah, it was. It was beyond Zarak the other day. That, I mean, to be fair, that was, he was in quite deep that day. So you wouldn't write him off because he's a course winner. Captain Cat, he's getting on a bit now. It's a race where you wouldn't be confident with any of them, but I actually quite like the angle of horses running out in the desert in Dubai and coming back. It worked really well for me last year when I backed Secret Brief to win the Lincoln.
Yeah.
And there's a couple of horses trained by Godolphin this year, actually. Brave Zolo being one of them, who was second in the race last year to Secret Brief. He's been running out in the desert. It's a good in good form, and he'll come back hopefully for the Lincoln. And this horse, I think, has got to be revitalised and refreshed for going out there. It's almost like having a summer holiday, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then coming back. You know, that Zarak, that race that he's running behind Zarak. I mean, Zarak will run on World Cup night and will be one of the favourites to win that mile and a quarter race. But there was some decent fodder in that. Shan Shah was fourth. He ran a blinder from a bad draw on Super Saturday. You know, Earnshaw, who was second, he's a good barometer to the form over there. So he's probably just about the most reliable of the ones that are unreliable.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah, and that was a Group 3 as well, wasn't it? So
yeah, exactly.
It was a
yeah.
big price. He was never going to win that, was he?
If the horse had got no form here at Kempton, I'd think, you are taking a bit of a punt. But he's all-weather form, as it stands, is pretty good. He won here a couple of seasons ago. He also finished second to Imjali at Chelmsford three starts back. So actually, the Polytrack surface certainly is looking at more of an aid than a negative.
Yeah, and they booked Oshie Murphy to ride as well.
Oshie Murphy's on as well, yeah, which is
Only thing I wouldn't know.
Got to be seen as
20 days from being out in the desert to, well, being out in Dubai to coming back and racing in Kempton.
Yeah, that's a question mark. That is a question mark. But, you know, we'll take a chance.
Yeah.
Hopefully he's a hardy enough sort.
Yeah, he might have been in first class, he'll be fine.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, travelling first class, yeah.
All right, Andy, good stuff. Quick summary of your selections then before we go as normal.
Well, I'll go backwards because I'm on the 5:45 at Kempton. Yep. So, in reverse order, we'll go with Manson at Kempton. We've got the Italian Yob in the 410, Apple and Pears in the previous race, and we've got the Sue Smith horse over at Catterick. No more blackjack.
Superb. Thank you very much, Andy.
You're welcome.
Good luck and enjoy it on Wednesday.
Will do. Thanks, pal.
There you go. The thoughts of Andy Holding on Wednesday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. James Millman, John Babb and Dale Gibson, the team in the studio. We've got Jumping from Catterick and Fontwell, accompanied by All Weather Racing on the Poly Track at Lingfield in the afternoon and the same surface at Kempton in the evening. So plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Wednesday's action.
ACCA 5 is William Hill's new ACCA insurance. It means if you have a 5 selection accumulator and one lets you down, you'll get your money back as a free bet. And it's available across all sports. ACCA 5, exclusive to William Hill. T's and C's apply.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.